Support for the Media Project comes from the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a new Bachelor of Science degree in public health with a focus on social, physical, and behavioral sciences. strose.edu. From Northeast Public Radio, this is the Media Project, a weekly discussion about issues confronting the media.
Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score, killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They wallow in corruption, crime, and gore. Ting-a-ling-ling, city desk, pull the press, extra, extra, read all about it, it's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press.
You have an opportunity here for a half hour of commentary, analysis, and maybe even some insight into the news media issues of the week. I'm Rex Smith, editor of the Times Union, welcoming you to the Media Project with Dr. Alan Shartok, the CEO of Northeast Public Radio. He'd be here at the end of the studio table, and in the middle is Ira Fussfeld, longtime publisher of the Daily Freeman in Kingston, New York. Wonderful to see you, Ira.
Nice to see you, Rex and Alan. Last time I said nice to see you, Rex, and Alan was annoyed because I didn't say nice to see you, Alan.
Ah.
So everybody is one big happy
family.
Why
can't we all just get along?
Yeah, so for 20 seconds anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Then we'll see what happens.
Remember, the farmer and the cowman must be friends.
The farmer, absolutely. Why
no
not?
Problem.
Oh, you know, if we only had your banjo here.
Yeah, wouldn't be hard to do, but it would disturb people.
It's in his office. I just saw it.
It would disturb the peace. Yeah, it would be probably. So we're going to ask our readers. Yeah, here I am, I'm an old print guy. We're going to ask our listeners for some input here, but I'm going to ask you guys this question too. There's a new poll out that reveals, among other troubling findings, this poll by The Economist and YouGov, I think it is, finds that 45% of Republicans think that the government should be able to shut down biased news media, that courts should be able to take action against biased news media. Now, clearly, this is contradictory to the First Amendment, which assures us a free press. But the concern that I have is this. This shows that people don't appreciate, don't have any support for the notion, the undergirding point of view of the First Amendment. So what can you do about that?
Well, I know, Rex, you've been very active in this segment of your profession and been on committees trying to do citizenship journalism and explaining what journalists do to young people. Nevertheless, it has often been said by many wags that if you say the most ridiculous things, you'll get really terrible things. You get 25% of the people saying, yeah, that's right. So in this case, it's 45% of the people, many of whom feel that they have been subjected to bias on the part of a newspaper. They wrote a story. Even if it's an accurate story, they don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a good chance to take a punch in the solar plexus.
Yeah, and the current administration and the current president has exacerbated the negative feelings that the people have about media and print. And, you know, he's laid the groundwork for a time when, if in fact he is either impeached or loses an election the next time around, where he can blame the media and people will be willing to believe it, a segment of the population. But to your questions, what can we do about it? I think two things, one of which we've discussed, which is just keep doing what we do, and hopefully we're going to do it well and we're going to be accurate and not be deterred by the naysayers. And secondly, boy, I don't envy the job that educators have, because there are so many things that need to be taught to people, but I would certainly love to see some civics classes reinstated at high school or junior high school level.
Yeah. Alan's had to go off to answer the telephone there,
yeah.
So we'll get back to him eventually. Anyway, but, you know, I think it is difficult to figure out how do you assert a constitutional principle as something that is worthwhile. I would have thought that that would be something that kids would get from first grade on. If our listeners have any ideas, media@wamc.org, please tell us what you think. media@wamc.org. The same poll tested how people would react when they are asked, do you have more trust in the president or four major news organizations? Excuse me. And they were asked about the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, and Fox News. The general public, overall, the public said that the news organizations have more credibility than the president. The overall public, each one of them. But independents and Democrats were that way. They chose all four news outlets over the president. But Republicans had a different view in each case. They choose the president over the news outlet, even when they're asked to choose between the president and Fox News. So it's clearly a partisan problem now, too.
You know, I say this somewhat tongue-in-cheek. I hate to see something negative happen to our incumbent president. But if, in fact, there eventually becomes a smoking gun that is just so demonstrative that there should be no argument about his shortcomings, it's possible that the people who have supported him all along are going to say, well, I guess they were right.
Oh,
but,
no.
You don't think that'll happen?
No,
huh?
and you know,
I said it's a little bit
far-fetched. When it happened with Dick Nixon, when he got forced out of office, the loyal stayed loyal to him.
And even thought, after after he left office.
Yes, and thought that he had been screwed. So, yeah, you know, that 36 or 38% has not gotten off the dime in the polls all along, and they are not going to desert him. Look, many of these people are very angry people, and anger is a fierce motivator in terms of your opinion. I hear from them in the mail. Some of these letters are unbelievable, and I see them. And Ira, I wish what you said was true. I just don't think it is. I think what happens is they're going to stick with him forever, and they're going to think he was had.
Well, that's the when he said he could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue, he wouldn't lose his base.
He's right. One more point on this, and I, again, welcome our listeners to offer their point of view of what to do about this. Maybe they agree with this. One-third of the public overall, so that surely includes some listeners to this program, one-third are willing to have courts fine the news media for biased or inaccurate reporting. Somewhat fewer would let the courts shut down the media. This is overall. So the question is, does that violate the First Amendment? Apparently an awful lot of people think it doesn't, that fining the news media for biased reporting is perfectly fine.
As one famous Supreme Court justice said, the Constitution is what we say it is. And if Donald Trump appoints another two people to the Supreme Court of the United States and they say, hey, we can change the libel laws, the Congress is entitled to change the libel laws and to say, you know, that newspapers should be fined or any other law, then it'll exist. Look, you have the nonsense of having people murdered every day with all these guns in the United States. The court comes along and says, no, every American has a right, even though it's dubious that that's what was meant by the militia line in the Constitution. If the court says so, Rex, I think it's going to be so.
Don't you think a lot of this is, a lot of the negative feelings about the media is because people are not able to separate the talking heads from the straight news reporting, and that the talking heads on the three major cable news networks are so dominant on those networks, and that and it's almost a hypnotic effect. People are being brainwashed on both sides. I mean, I'd like to think that the people who I believe are right, and I'm not being brainwashed, but if you hear enough of Hannity going off and he's still had big ratings, it's going to impact people's views across the board regarding media.
But Ira, there's still columnists for newspapers who have very strong opinions, editorials which have very strong opinions. No, I think it's not only that the newspapers bear some limited responsibility, you know, for inaccuracies, but much more that people are angry, as I've said before, number one. And number two, somebody's reported on them. And even if that report is an accurate report, they're going to not like it. I'll never forget the time that that guy wrote that. Hey, I've had it happen to me. It was inaccurate. And I was furious.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Everybody hates it when there's something inaccurate, and you better demand a correction. You don't always get it.
You sure don't.
But you should. And, you know, I think there is a gap between the understanding that when there is a mistake made, the media needs to correct it. But that is still held out as evidence of bias. You know, early in the first week of the Trump presidency, a pool reporter who was in the White House fed a pool report. That is, when one reporter is there on behalf of everybody because they don't want to have a whole cluster of reporters present. The pool report that the president had removed the bust of Martin Luther King,
right,
from the White House, was inaccurate. That pool report went out and it was corrected within minutes, I believe. But the fact that there was that inaccuracy, that was just a mistake that somebody made, and it was fixed right away. But that is still
seized
cited.
Upon.
I had that thrown back at me just last week, when somebody cited 15 ways in which the biased media is out to get the president, that there was a mistake. You cannot make a mistake if you're a reporter covering the president.
Which brings me to say that we heard from the publisher of the Berkshire Edge, which is a rather small online newspaper, very good, and I heard, because I had attributed a story that I mentioned on this program to the Berkshire Eagle, and it turns out it was taken from the Berkshire Edge.
Oh, Well, there you go.
And I already apologized on our air for
it. Very good.
But this is the second time I can do that.
Well, that's good. Good for you. Good thing that you've done that. I appreciate that. You know, I would appreciate it if local TV stations would give credit to the Times Union when they rip off our stories.
Of course.
We had an investigative story in the Sunday paper, a significant piece of work that our investigations editor, Brendan Lyons, had worked on for a couple of months. And that evening, the story appeared on News Channel 13, the local NBC affiliate, without attribution, without any line saying the story was first reported in the Times Union. I'm really sick of that. And that's copyrighted material, by the way. That's plagiarism. And I really think that if you take a story, you know, actually, WAMC is terrific about that, attributing stories to their original sources. Mm-hmm. And we really appreciate that. And, you know, it's not, perhaps it's not such a big deal. Maybe I shouldn't care. But, you know, we put a lot of effort into these stories.
Sure.
And to have them ripped off by headline readers really ticks me off.
Well, so, you know, the old adage about news theft, which is what this is called. And that is, if a broadcast entity takes a story that was in that day's newspaper and doesn't attribute it to the newspaper, it's because it's certain that the story is right. if it's not 100% sure the story is right, it will say, according to published reports.
In the
and
Times
if it's,
Union.
No, right. Then that's the third level. If it really is on shaky ground, then they'll say, according to the Times Union, or whatever the paper is.
It's really shaky.
And yeah. I think it's more than humor. I think that's right.
Yeah, it's probably true.
I think that happens. So, Rex, when you see something like that, do you pick up the phone and call the news director?
I have sometimes. I have done that. The problem is that I don't have enough time to do it all the time.
Sure.
And actually, the fact is, I usually am not aware of it because I don't pay that much attention, nor do many people pay that much attention now to broadcast news. And so you just say, well, and in the world of digital media, stuff gets out there so quickly. We generally publish stuff online before we put it in print nowadays. So I don't have as many occasions to do it because we are putting it out there. And if you pay a dollar a week for your subscription to TimesUnion.com, you can get it all, and there it is. But you ought to attribute it. With the typical response of a lot of reporters here is you call up a source and say, hey, sheriff, is the story in the Times Union true? And the sheriff says, yeah, it's all accurate. And then they feel as though they have matched the story, as the term goes. They've matched the story, and they don't have to attribute it to us anymore because they did the reporting. Huh. Anyway, sorry.
By the way, I really have enjoyed your anger here.
Yeah.
No, honestly, it's something that everybody can relate to who has a business, who has a pride of authorship in any case, and I hear you.
This is The Media Project, by the way, from Northeast Public Radio. Alan Shartok, Ira Fussfeld, and Rex Smith here from WAMC in Albany, New York. And if you have thoughts that you'd care to share with us, we are media@wamc.org. And we would thank you for that. And maybe even pass along your thoughts on the air. We haven't actually had occasion to sit down here and talk about this since the president ditched, well, I shouldn't say that, since the president hired a new communications director, prompting his press secretary, Spicy, to quit.
I mean, of all the things that happened to Spicer the last 6 months, this was the one that made him quit.
Yeah.
Not speaking untruths, not trying to defend the indefensible, but this got him.
Isn't that interesting? That's a good point. So do you think that cable news outfits ought to hire Sean Spicer, snatch him up as an insider who, you know, give an opportunity to have somebody on their air who can speak in support of the White House?
Well, what do you think, Rex?
I don't think he deserves a job by any reputable journalism organization. No. He lies as he breathes, and he has attacked the media. I don't think anybody should hire him.
So let's assume for a second that you're the news director at CNN or at MSNBC, and everybody's yelling at you every day. You're a bunch of commie, pinko, lefty, you know, nutcases, and you never give the other side. Isn't it the perfect poke in the eye to hire somebody like Sean Spicer, not because of your ethical feelings about this, Rex, because I agree with you, but because it's just good business.
Good marketing.
Yeah.
Well, CNN has already said it's not going to hire him. I don't know about the other two. And ordinarily, the obvious place for him would be Fox News. But given the fact that he quit the Trump White House, perhaps there'd be the word out that they shouldn't hire him. But you have to make a decision about whether hiring somebody like that is good for your brand and good for your business. And I would argue that Spicer is damaged goods right now. Now maybe the right would disagree with it.
Well, I don't know. You know, we've talked many times about how people go to the cable news channel of their choice because it mirrors their own worldview, otherwise known, Rex, as a Weltanschauung.
Listen tight.
And we here at WAMC, for example, 4 minutes a week have somebody named Dr. Herb London on the air. Now, he's so far right that sometimes he's coming around the circle to the other side. to the other side. But he's pretty right-wing, and I get calls all the time, get him off. I don't want him on my station, they say, and all the rest of it. He's not a real conservative. Then they always say, get a real conservative. And I say, hey, he ran on the Conservative Party ticket for high state office. Mm-hmm. He's the head of one of the more prestigious conservative organizations. What do you mean, get a real conservative?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I get a lot of complaints from conservatives that we don't offer conservative viewpoints in the paper. We have a number of conservative columnists that we run. What we don't offer are people who are writing in support of Donald Trump, because the traditional conservatives in America are not Trump supporters. If you talk about David Brooks of the New York Times or Charles Krauthammer of the Washington Post, these are people who are conservative, strong conservative spokesmen who are not at all.
Okay, but
fans
so
of
let
Trump.
Me come back at you to make this program even more interesting than it is.
Oh boy.
And ask you this. People call you up and they say, why don't you get conservatives? And you take umbrage because the fact of the matter is you have conservatives. They're just not pro-Trump conservatives.
Right.
What happens when you get the call who says, listen, this guy is the president of the United States. Why don't you have more pro-Trump, not pro-conservative, but pro-Trump columnists?
It's really hard to find them. You know, I mean,
it
really,
is, by the way,
now you can get people who will stand up for Trump on the alt-right, the hard far right. And I don't really feel as though our opinion pages, I think our news stories are balanced in that they reflect the president's point of view. He speaks, his press people speak. They're quoted in news stories that we pick up from the syndicates or that are provided by our Washington correspondent, Dan Friedman. But I don't think it is our obligation to present people on our opinion pages who are irrational ideologues or even people who are trying very hard to justify the hatred, the bile that is coming out of the White House.
Well, first of all, you know, personally, I agree with you. But non-personally, just to give you a hard time, and why not? He is the president. Mm. A large segment of the population agree with him. And why not have at least one who will come on every week one way or another and say, we agree with the president?
Well, we have letters to the editor that say that. I guess you're right. We could get, what's her name, Ann Coulter. You know, maybe we should pick up Ann Coulter's column.
Or the Conway woman.
Well, she doesn't write a column, you know.
She
I mean,
could.
I'm trying to think about a column
she
as
will.
Well. We're not, she will. Yeah.
Well, let's go back to where you started. What do you think about Scaramucci as the communications director? What do you
think
about?
You didn't want to say his name, did you, because you'd mispronounce
Mooch.
It?
Mooch. I mean, since he's arrived, the daily press briefings are back on TV.
Good.
He claims that he's trying to make peace with CNN. He's reaching out. They named Sanders now as the official replacement for Spicer. Although I have to tell you, yesterday as we speak, at her daily briefing, there were a number of questions about the transgender military issue.
Huckabee Sanders.
Yes, mm-hmm. Huckabee Sanders. And she answered a number of questions, and there were more questions. And then she finally said, you know, I've told you all I know. If there's going to be any more questions about this, I'm going to stop the press briefing. And I was reminded by somebody on Twitter, of all places, that one of the complaints that Trump's people had about the daily briefings was that the reporters were not interested in talking about policy. They were talking about things that they thought broader than that, like Russia. And here was a policy issue that the president devised for himself about transgender, and they wanted to cut it off because at some point they found the questions were uncomfortable. And I'm sure that Huckabee couldn't answer them beyond the four or five talking points that she had.
Ira, one of the funniest things I have ever seen in my life was Scaramucci being put on the right-hand panel.
Yes, great
and,
clip.
And on the left-hand panel was Trump. And every move that Trump made, if he touched his head, they had him touching his head. If he put his hand out, they had him putting his hand out. It was wild.
Well, they're cut from the same cloth. They're both brash New Yorkers. They both made their money in business and in Wall Street. And they're like brothers. But Trump, of course, is much more famous because of his TV, and his name is all over every building you can turn to. And this is why it's believed that Trump hired this guy, because he trusts him to do what he would do if he was in front of the microphone. And up to Alan's point, the mannerisms are exactly the same. It's incredible.
And as long as we're talking about Scaramucci, and we only have about 3 minutes left, I wanted to just mention this business of the leaks.
Yeah, good. That's just where I was hoping
you
would
ahead,
go.
Go ahead, Rex.
Go. No, I think it's terrific. He says that he's going to fire anybody.
He fired one guy already.
If they want to stay on the staff, they're going to stop leaking. But if you're going to keep leaking, I'm going to fire everybody. it's just very binary.
And then the next day he had to come back and say, no, I'm not going to fire everybody.
Yeah.
For some reason. Now, I don't get this leaking thing. I really don't understand it because, you know, you get a Trump White House and every day there's leak on leak on leak on leak.
Intentional, so, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, and one person's leak is another person's story placement.
Right.
The White House all the time has people saying, well, let me tell you this, but don't attribute it to me. That could be construed as a leak. When they use the word leak, I think they're counting on the public to think that it's like the CIA has a secret that is being illegally leaked. But a leak is really when frequently, usually, probably, they are intentional.
Yes, and it has been said by some profound pundit that the leaker in chief is Donald Trump.
Absolutely.
Well, all of them, apparently. Kellyanne Conway used to be an anonymous source. Trump used to be an anonymous source. Mm-hmm. But let me just play devil's advocate. As of somebody from the press, I'm all for the leaks. We want those leaks. We want to get this information. But if somebody at this radio station or at your newspaper or at my old newspaper, if somebody in the know began leaking private business or strategic discussions,
would we be ticked off?
We'd be ticked off and you would fire them. Would you not?
Well, nah, I don't know. I mean, first of all, I can't really relate to this because I don't have anything that's worth
leaking. No, wait a minute. Even if it was perfectly benign, if you were having a strategy session with your key people here and you said in 3 months' time we're going to gear ourselves up to do this, you wouldn't want that out. You wouldn't want to read that in the Times.
That's true.
So you would probably say, who leaked that? And you might fire him. You have confidentiality working for me. So I don't blame him. But what I do think Scaramucci is just he came in as a tough guy. What are you going to do? I'm going to fire him.
Yeah.
Well, that's just what people want to hear if you believe that the leaks are bad.
You're right, which is part of the administration's strategy to shift attention away from anything that they have done. You know, this is the strategy, of course, in dealing with the Mueller investigation.
Sure.
And if you watch Fox News, the issue is not the alleged collusion between the Trump team and the Russians. The story is who's leaking information about Russia.
And didn't Hillary do that also?
Hillary. Right. It's all about Hillary.
I noticed in my old newspaper there was an editor's note in response to a letter that was critical of the newspaper. And the editor wrote a great word that I'd never heard of before. And it's whataboutism. And he said, what you're hearing now all over the place is if somebody says emails to Trump, he or his people will say, well, what about Hillary? And there are a number of things like that. And this is a new phrase that he has coined, I believe. Uh-huh. But that I think speaks to what the counter argument that when you say, you've got something here. Well, what about when they did it? And they're trying to deflect it off of them.
Cool. Word of the week. What about
it? What about ism?
Yeah. All right. Share your thoughts with us. media@wamc.org. Meantime, we got to get out of here. Alan Shartok, Ira Fussfeld, and Rex Smith. That would be the publisher, That would be the professor, the publisher, and the editor. Thanks for joining us on The Media Project.
And watch out for prestitution.
Now newspapermen meet such interesting people. It must have startled poor old Sadie's on ting-a-ling-a-ling city desk. Hold the press, extra, extra, read all about it. It's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. Like the richest girl who could not bake a cake. Ting-a-ling, ting-a-ling, ling-a-ling-a-ling. Now newspapermen are such interesting people. They used to work like...
The Media Project is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. Alan Shartok is CEO of WAMC, Professor Emeritus at the State University of New York, commentator, columnist, and author. Rex Smith is editor of the Times Union. And Ira Fussfeld is the Publisher Emeritus of the Daily Freeman. You can listen to or podcast The Media Project anytime at WAMC.org or just download the WAMC app for your iPhone or Android at the Play Store today. Thanks for listening.
Meet the people, that's a thrill, all together fits the bill. Oh, newspapermen are such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the flow. Now, publishers are such interesting people. Their policy is an acrobatic thing. They claim to represent the common people. It's funny, Wall Street never has complained. Ah, but publishers have worries, for publishers must go to working folks for readers and to big shots for their dough. Now publishers are such interesting people. It could be prostitution, I don't know. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, circulation, ting-a-ling-a-ling, advertising, get those readers, get that payoff. What a headache, what a mess. Oh, publishers are such interesting people. Let's give free cheers for freedom of the press.